It's the Hampton Roads BusinessJournal.com podcast interview. Bringing you interviews with Hampton Roads successful small business owners and entrepreneurs. And now, our host, Rod Watson.
Hello, Hampton Roads Business Journal listeners. I've had the pleasure of bringing to you Dennis Gilbert from Tesoro Corporation, home based out of Virginia Beach. Good afternoon, Dennis. How are you doing?
Hello, Rod. How are you?
Just fine. Happy to have you on today. Thanks for taking the time to be with us and sharing your input, experiences, and enlightening our business owner listeners today. Dennis, I'd like you to describe Tesoro, even though Tesoro is not active right now. Please describe your business and your business experience. But first, we'd like to get to know you. If you could just take a minute and tell us about yourself and then briefly describe Tesoro Corporation.
Rod, I was born and reared in the Panama Canal, actually, and I went to college at LSU in Baton Rouge. Graduated there with a bachelor's in civil engineering in 1973. Immediately, I spent 16 years in the oil fields installing offshore platforms and offshore pipelines. Worked in the North Sea and Singapore, Latin America, Brazil. It was very interesting. Well, when oil went to $8 a barrel, I think some of us, certainly us older folks, can remember that day in the mid-1980s. When oil went to $8 a barrel, there just really wasn't much construction of offshore platforms going on. So I left that field and went into the government and worked as a Navy construction manager. I did that. I think I joined like end of 1986, first part of 1987, and did that for about 10 years. Then in June of 1997, which is what, like 16 years ago, I started up a new construction company called Tesoro Corporation. Tesoro focused on government contracts as a general contractor. We did lots of renovations of offices, warehouses, barracks, utility systems, Navy housing, things like that. We also had a division focused on healthcare and managed to work in 11 different medical facilities in Hampton Roads, and for all the major hospital groups. As we grew in 2004, Tesoro Corporation was selected as Small Business of the Year for Virginia Beach, and then we were elected as the Small Business of the Year for all of Hampton Roads. 2004 was a good year for us because also in that year, Inc. magazine showed that Tesoro Corporation was the fastest growing company in the entire state of Virginia during the previous 5 years.
Wow.
So we continue to have success, and what we needed was an influx of capital, and we wanted to broaden our horizon, so we engaged with Tetra Tech, and in 2009 we sold Tesoro to a very large engineering construction company called Tetra Tech. I continued on as president of the business unit called Tetra Tech Tesoro, and essentially it was the Tesoro Corporation. The only person who got a new boss was me. Everyone else stayed the same. That business unit continues to do over $100 million worth of work, and again, it continues to do mostly government contracting. So I retired the 1st of July, end of June this year, and I've been working with SCORE Hampton Roads.
Excellent.
SCORE helps people who have dreams actually put together business plans, and we guide them as well as helping existing small businesses grow their business. So SCORE Hampton Roads, I found them to be very, very impressive. A group of volunteer mentors where folks can come for help and advice on all kinds of stuff, business plans, banking, retail sales, manufacturing, insurance, And of course, on the construction industry. So that's right. A little bit about me and my company, right?
Well, thanks. And then what a great amount of experience. And the first thing I'll say is, yes, SCORE is awesome. I'm also a new SCORE mentor. Just started in August. and where I met Dennis, and he is the first of hopefully many SCORE volunteer mentors and experienced business owners that'll be on our show. But wow, that's exactly what we all want to do. We want to retire on our own terms and move on and do the things we want to do. And Dennis is living that dream. That's why he's with us today to kind of share how he got here. Okay,
well,
Dennis.
Really, it's cool. I enjoy SCORE, and SCORE really helped me in the early days of business. So this is a little bit of giving back to the community.
That's awesome, and it's great that an organization helps you, and then you turn around and help by helping out and volunteering with them. That's awesome. That's just great. Okay, Dennis, what I'd like to go through in Hampton Roads Business Journal, what we try to do is motivate our listeners with words of wisdom, and most of us, as we go through, grab on to famous quotes quotes from famous people. It doesn't always have to be a famous person, but words of wisdom that kind of ring through our head and guide us along. Do you have a favorite business quote or quote in general? And if you do, please provide it and give us an explanation why it's so meaningful to you.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I do have a favorite quote, but it's part of a story. There was a newspaper reporter went to interview Thomas Edison, and at the time Edison was working on one of his inventions, it may have been the light bulb, and he explained to the reporter that, you know, there's something like 10,000 attempts at making this invention work, and the reporter really felt sorry for Thomas Edison and said, this is really bad. I mean, you went to all this work and effort, and you've accomplished nothing. And Edison's quote is, I have not failed. I have found 10,000 ways that won't work. I've always enjoyed that. It's been my experience that successful startup business grow and become large businesses because the owner or group owners does not have a problem with disappointment or even failure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Many folks have started up 3 and 4 companies before reaching success.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as Thomas Edison says, any particular failure is something we should learn for. I have always told my friends and family and folks in the company to, quote, learn to live with disappointment. In growing Tesoro Corporation, I'll tell you, we failed at many things, at many initiatives. We attempted to grow into different markets. We expanded into different markets, a couple of which that expansion failed for us. We trusted certain people or even trusted doing business with certain companies that ended up being a failure. I mean, I think growing a business, starting up a business, is a journey that you take, but people have to understand that that road is paved with many obstacles and drawbacks. You know, in Tesoro, we just never gave up and never allowed any of those failures or obstacles to stop us from our goal of making Tesoro a great place of work, and, you know, I think we accomplished that.
That's great, Dennis, and that's a great lesson for our listeners to understand that you're not going to hit a home run every time you get up to the plate. There are going to be some setbacks. Live with it. Don't get on an emotional roller coaster. And understand that if you learn from the setbacks, then that's just one step closer to success. I 100% agree, and that's an awesome quote.
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay. Now, we talked about failure, so that's what we're going to roll into. Is there any one particular business failure that you'd like to share with our listeners that you can point to that you had a significant learning experience from and can be credited to helping you get to where you are today?
Oh, Lordy, Rod, there's too many to enumerate.
Well, pick one.
The story is a history of a lot of good things that happened, but along the way there's a history of so many failures. And the idea is that our success came from just not letting failure stop us from pursuing our dream. Now, there's no one particular failure. I could sit with you for hours and come up with 100 stories of that we attempted. In our company, this saying As a response to the question, why did you do that? This saying was, our saying was, well, it seemed like a good idea at the time. Okay. I bought a 15-passenger van because we had this idea that we'd be able to save money on some of our remote jobs, and it just never worked out. So a year later, we were thinking, trying to get rid of the van, and a couple of people said, well, why did you buy this van? And, you know, the answer, like many times, is, well, it seemed like a good idea at the time. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll go for the aha moment. Do you have a business aha moment where the light bulb shined bright and everything was very clear to you? You say, okay, this is it. This is why I'm in business. This is why I do what I do. And you take that aha moment and turn it into success. Can you point to any particular moment where you knew you were right on track?
Yeah. You know, I worked for a couple contractors for the first 16 years of my career, and they were very good contractors, and I learned under the auspices of some really good people, some really talented people. And I'd like to say that, you know, I worked very hard and I learned a lot of lessons. So I joined the government when oil went to $8 a barrel. And as I worked with contractors, government contractors in this area, out of the 25 or 30 that I worked with, there was only 5 or 6 that were competent. And so I saw really crappy companies working for the government, yet they were successful from a monetary standpoint. So my aha moment where I'm getting to is that I imagine that a contracting firm that was actually good and competent would then work for the government would be very, very successful. And I was correct. Tesoro Corporation went from, I think the first year we did $500,000 worth of business, first full year of business. And then 5 years later, we did $51 million worth of business. And that's when in 2004 we got all those accolades, fastest growing and all that. But, you know, all I did was I surrounded myself with high-quality people. I paid competitive salaries. We treated people well. My goal was always to make Tesoro a place that when you wake up in the morning, you feel pretty good about coming to work. And when you have happy people, people that are challenged, people who get rewarded for their hard work, man, they all do great work. And so our success showed that people really is the whole thing, okay? The people is the most important thing in building a business. All the rest of it is overhead and chatter and, you know, rah-rah stuff. What makes a company is the people. And you know, my aha moment showed me that there were a lot of government contractors that were successful monetarily, but they weren't a very good company.
That's a very good point, Dennis. So we've had plenty of people on the show, and we haven't talked about that human element as far as surrounding yourself with good people and treating them right and getting in there and being competitive as far as salaries that you're paying them and making sure that they have a good organizational environment to surround them in. And like you said, if you wake up in the morning and you feel good about going into work, they're going to stay with you. So that's a good point. We haven't covered that yet, and I'm glad you brought that up. Okay, now, I think you're going to have one of these, so we'll get into it, an I made it moment. Do you have a moment where you said, okay, I've made it, we're here, we've arrived, I'm where I want to be? And if so, please briefly describe that moment.
That's really kind of funny. I never felt that. Perhaps because in construction you're only good as your last job. Mm-hmm. And also in construction, you run a construction company, you own a construction company. All it takes is one or two major losses on a job and your whole company is toast. I mean, the history of construction companies went out of business is a lot of times particularly because one project or two projects or an industry that they entered and fell apart on. Even my personal financial success was always at risk. You know, when you put bonds up, you put up you sign for the bond, so, you know, the house I own, the cash that I had, all that's on the line. So I never had that feeling that I made it. I don't know what that feels like. You know, perhaps lately upon retirement, maybe I feel more like I made it because, you know, I'm no longer at risk and I'm no longer personally at risk. But I'm still working on projects just now for myself. You know, I'm doing some, I own a farm, and a small farm, and I'm doing projects on that. But, you know, I'm not particularly at risk. You know, working for SCORE, and I do other consulting stuff for other people as well, but, you know, I'm not at risk at that. So maybe now I'm feeling a little better about, quote, having made it. But I never felt that way while I was at work.
And I completely understand that. And that's where I thought I was going to hear your I made it might be where you retired and you can not put yourself out there anymore and kick back and do the things, pick the projects that you want to pick. Because you've attained your goals, and now you can pick your projects more carefully and not have your livelihood depend on it.
Well, I still have a boss. I've been married to her for 39 years. So,
that's right.
I still have that happening.
I know that. My boss just retired from the Navy, so I understand that. Okay. All right. Now we're going to talk about your journey, and I think you've given us some insight of how you've come along. But HRBJ, it's the Hampton Roads Business Journal. We're here to help small businesses on their journey to success and let them know that they're not alone, that many of us have faced the same challenges and problems that they're currently dealing with. Do you have a turning point that you could point to in your journey that kind of guided you along the way?
Oh, wow, Rod. There were many turning points. I used to call it phases of our growth, you know. Uh-huh. We're focused on one part of the market, focused on another part. We expanded geographically. We opened up offices. You know, I would suggest that to talk to the small business owners is that you all have to understand that while there is a highway to success, and fulfillment of your dreams and of your goals, man, that highway is full of obstacles and roadblocks. The real successful people will tell you it's all about perseverance. You know, you overcome the obstacles. You go round or over or under the roadblocks. You know, it's you persevere and you continue.
That's right. And avoid shortcuts and things that take you off the path, but keep heading in the right direction. Okay. Let's talk about current projects. Current projects that you're working on, if you want to spend some time discussing those with you, things that are getting your blood pumping because you know it'll help local businesses and entrepreneurs.
Oh, wow. You know, the work I'm doing with SCORE keeps my blood pumping. I retired from construction work, you know, this past June 2013, but working with the SCORE folks, I mean, they bring energy. You know, as a mentor, you see so many folks excited about their dream or their idea, and what the SCORE folks, all of us, pitch in, try and help them go for that and assist them in the concrete aspects, you know, of that pursuit, the stuff they need, the business plans, the information that they need to pursue, the research that they have to do. Yeah, I tell you what, it makes me feel good about coming into the SCORE office to meet up with all these startup folks. It's really exciting for me. Gets my blood running.
It sure does. And in case we didn't mention it, SCORE mentoring is free for everybody for the life of your business, and all the individuals who come in are volunteers.
Yeah, and I've been most impressed. I really have. Yeah. And it's all free for the person looking for help.
Yep, and I tell you, just sitting down with people, you see that energy, you see the stars in the eyes, and the whole world is wide open. And sometimes our job is to give them a little bit of reality to say, hey, look, I'm not telling you not to do it, nothing like that. But here are the things that you need to make sure are in place before you take these big steps. So make sure you have a foundation before you just take off. I wouldn't go cross country to a specific location that I wasn't familiar with without a map or without GPS to guide me. So why start a business without a plan and a roadmap that's in a full tank of gas and ready to go? And SCORE does that for people. Definitely make sure that everybody's prepared on their way.
Yep, exactly right.
Okay, best business book. Do you have a book that you'd like to recommend to the listeners, and if so, why?
I've read a lot of business books. I keep them. I don't go to the library. I buy business books. And especially in the beginning days of Tesoro, even before I actually incorporated and certainly the first couple of years, I must have, I don't know, 300 or 400 books just on businesses and motivation and goal setting and stuff like that. I think the best one for me that I would tell you would be Good to Great, written by Jim Collins. He did a study of, I don't know, a couple hundred businesses that were at least 100 years old, and he analyzed them to find out what traits. And one of the things that I liked about that book was what he demonstrated, what I've been saying earlier, is the great companies had an unwavering resolve to do what must be done. You know, and I think that's the characteristic of a great leader, is that you have, absolute determination to do what needs to be done. That's pretty good. That particular book is well-researched, and it shows the reader what it takes to move a company from just being to actual greatness. And one of the lessons I took away from that, we all know the Trump companies, and he owns some hotels and other properties, but I don't think anyone would call that company great, and I don't think that company will survive past Trump's death, okay? It's all about Trump. He puts his name on the buildings, for crying out loud, you know? This book, I think, expresses well that personal humility, fortified with professionalism, gives good to great leaders the edge over the ego-driven stuff that you see in some companies. And I took that to heart, and I personally always strive to keep my own ego muted and gave credit to the people in the company that actually made us successful. So to me, the Good to Great book was... And there's a couple in that series, but I particularly like Jim Collins on that one.
And I think what most people need to realize is that there are a lot of people who are good at what they do, and there's very little separation from the top echelon of companies. But the ones that go from good to great are the ones that find how to separate themselves. And it doesn't have to be by an apprentice popular TV show in prime time. But it's by finding that way to stand out, to break out, whatever that is. Every person that makes it is going to find a different way to do it. And I think that's what you've done, too. Found a way to get over the hump from the good companies to the great. That's awesome. That's a great selection for a book choice. Okay. You did some government work, and then you became an entrepreneur and started your business. What was holding you back from taking your business to the next level and becoming an entrepreneur? What was keeping you back during the times that you decided to leave construction and go to government? Was there anything while you were during that time that held you back from stepping out on your own? The reason why we ask this question is because a lot of times our listeners are going to be in a situation where they are in a job and they want to open a business, but they haven't made that move yet because they may not feel comfortable or they may not have a good example. So do you have anything to share as far as what was holding you back from starting your career?
Well, sure. I mean, I worked for the government for 10 years. I was pretty comfortable. I had a good paying position. You know, I liked what I was doing. I liked the people around me. I was enjoying my job. Mm-hmm. I figured government salary is pretty secure, although in these days of furloughing, maybe not so secure. And like everybody, you know, to step out, you know, I was 46. I was no longer a youngster. I had three kids heading to college, you know. And so to step out, fear of the unknown. I mean, I was comfortable. I was very comfortable doing construction. And there was nothing about project management or managing construction contracts for the Navy or for the government generally. I wasn't afraid of that, but I didn't have, I had never run a business. I had never gotten capital. And talking in capital, I didn't think I had enough money to start up. I mean, I only had $60,000 in savings, and I took all of it out. In fact, that's where the name Tesoro comes. Tesoro in Spanish is treasure. So I used all of my, you know, but when you go to get a bond and everything, they want any savings account you want, equity in your house, all the cash that you have. So I started Tesoro with $60,000. And at that time, I really was, my biggest fear was I didn't think I had enough capital to do it. But as it turned out, we did. So that great. Worked out good.
Okay, that's a great point. Okay, what was the best business advice you've ever been given?
Oh, wow. I can't boil it down. I have a couple I'll share with
okay.
you.
Sure, sure.
In fact, I just have too many gems that I, you know, uh-huh. to call anyone the best.
Okay, not, so give us a couple of
them. Like, hard work will put you ahead of 90% of the rest of the people. I can still, uh-huh. my father's been gone for 15 years, but I can still hear his voice resonate in my head, you know. That, uh-huh. It's interesting, and that's been proven by my own experience that and just working hard puts you ahead of most of the people. Mm-hmm. You know, integrity stuff, always do the right thing, even when nobody's looking or nobody could find out.
You know, that's right. I've
never taken any glory in being charitable. I try and be charitable anonymously.
Mm-hmm.
In construction, I mentioned this before, you're only as good as your last job.
Yep.
So, you know, you keep that in mind, right? And so you try uh-huh. and always build goodwill and have satisfied clients because that's what's going to happen. Trust your folks unless proven differently. The vast majority of our people deserve our trust. You know, when I was running Tesoro, I would get people saying put, you know, monitors on my trucks and that my superintendent and project managers had. And I go, why would I do that? And he said, well, that way you know where they're going. And I said, I trust these people. They're the facade. They're the first point of contact for my client. They're all trusted folks. A lot of them have become friends of mine. I wouldn't do that. And, you know, in the end, I think there's only one or two of the hundreds of people that we employ. There was only one or two that did not deserve that trust, but the vast majority do.
That reminds me of a quote that, or not a quote, but advice that somebody gave me at one point was, don't consistently build your business to protect yourself against the 2% who aren't going to behave the way they should. So,
yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah,
my neighbor across the street, a very, very wealthy person, his house is three times the size of mine. I always kid him that my house doesn't even have to look good because when people drive in the neighborhood, they're just looking at his house. Right? Anyway, he always said, shine your light on others. And he's a very charitable person, gives a lot to causes and people that we'd all be amazed. But like me, he does it pretty anonymously, pretty secretively. But he always says, you know, you got to shine your light on other people.
Yeah.
And the last one for me is you got to always remember that no matter, you know, the hard work, surrounding yourself with great people, being prepared, knowing the business, having the contact, all that, you know, is great, but you have to have a little luck, and that little luck lands you with that opportunity. So every day you should count and be thankful for all your blessings. luck does come into play. But you got to be prepared when it not comes knocking. But if it never comes knocking, then it's tough.
Okay, so that's great. That's great advice, and those are great things to keep in mind for everybody. Okay, another question here is, what action could our listeners take within the next 24 hours to move their business to the next level and get them closer to their goals?
Oh, absolutely. You have to develop or redo your business plan, okay? having the business plan itself is not the benefit to you. It's not that you go around and you go, oh, I got a business plan. What it is all the steps that you must take and the research that you must make that is the benefit that you get. So if you're a new startup business or even a business that has been around a while but is not growing to your life, you got to sit down and either do a business plan or redo an old one that you had. Mm-hmm. Without a business plan, to me, you're not really serious about any dream or hopes or wishes to build a company. Without a business plan, you have no credibility. You're not serious. You have no credibility with anyone if you don't have a business plan.
That's right. How many banks are going to give a loan?
A business plan that you cobble together in a weekend. It should take you 3 or 4 months at least, depending on the research and market you're in. And that's what you need, a business plan. It's well thought out and well researched. And when you've taken that step, all the information that you've generated in putting that business plan together will help your company become successful. I personally spent 6 months on the business plan with Tesoro with a mentor from SCORE. We probably met 6 or 8 times in iterations on the business plan. And one of the things he revealed to me is that I needed a different tweaking of the business plan for the banker, which is a little bit different than the bonding guy, and also a little different for the folks that you're trying to attract for capital or investment or ownership parts, all that stuff. But doing the business plan was probably the biggest reason for our success. We developed a journey, a map of where we wanted to go, and we updated our business plan every year. We made it for 5 years, and then we updated it every year right up until the purchase by Tetra Tech in 2009. So we had, from 1997 to 2009, we had 11, 12 years of business plans, and it's so critical. I can't emphasize it enough.
Definitely. As the business grows, you tweak it and change it. And we're going through those phases right now with my wife, as she recently retired from the Navy and is now starting her business. She participated in these 8-week-long Boost to Business course that is pretty much designed to have that business plan intact. And I've been in business for a while. I've had my fitness businesses and so on, but I'm going to do that class too for 2 reasons. One, I want to see what the student goes through, and I'm going to benefit from my own business, and this is the time for me to take a look at the services that I'm offering and make sure that they all make sense and think it through. And I'm using this opportunity as one. So it's not just the start point. I put a business plan together when I started my business, but it needs to change and evolve. And now is the perfect time with new projects coming in to make sure everything is incorporated, everything's thought through, and so on. And I'm an internet guy where I have relatively low overhead in what I do every day. But I still need a plan to get to where my goals are. If I'm going to get there, I need to map it out. So that's what we're trying to explain to all our listeners and make sure that we drive this point home. You got to have a business plan. You got to have a roadmap. And if you're heading in a destination and you're using GPS and you make a wrong turn, well, the GPS isn't going to keep you on the same map. It's going to reroute you to get to your goal, and that's what the business plan does.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. It's good.
Okay. All right, so let's go to internet resources. Now, I'm an internet guy, so I love to try to bring out any tools or tricks that people are using to make our lives easier and to kind of leverage our time. Do you have any internet resources like a Google Hangout or Evernote, that software or something that you would recommend our listeners take a look at?
For startup businesses, there's two sites that are excellent. The SBA Small Business Administration site, and then the SCORE website. So the best internet resources for anyone wanting to start up or grow a business. Both are filled with advice, go-by stories, templates, just a vast bunch of information on those two sites, SBA.gov and SCORE.org.
Yeah, that's great. And those organizations are funded by the government, and this is free. You're not going to get billed for anything. That's what's great about them. Okay. This will be interesting, I think. All right. You wake up in the morning, and you turn around, and everything is gone.
What?
You have everything is what happened. You're in a parallel universe.
I worked
very
hard to make not everything is gone.
That's right. Well, you're in a parallel universe.
Okay.
And everything that you have now is gone. But here's what you have covered, though. All your food and your lodging's covered. You have their knowledge, though. All your knowledge is here. You have $500 in cash and a laptop computer. How would you spend the first 7 days to get back to where you are now?
Wow, that's really weird. All right, so I got $500 in cash, and I don't have to worry about a roof and food, right? Is that
right? Right.
I don't know. $500 cash is not enough to start up a construction company. I'll tell you that. So I would probably get a job within construction, some job I like and can be passionate about, save some money for startup capital, move forward knowing, what I've said all along, that my path to success contains obstacles and, roadblocks and disappointments, but that I will overcome. I can't imagine starting up a company with only $500 in cash. But if that's the scenario, I guess I'd start out with a consulting company, and in the first 7 days, go through those steps, register the name, develop an image, establish goals, then start working hard on a business plan. So I'll have a plan put together that as I put together my team, we can move forward and become successful.
Outstanding. There you go. And that is a great answer. And I know you're right. I think you were thinking, okay, I can't build my company again like that with $500, but I can get there. I know I can get there. And you did it. That's it. You lay out, get a plan. You didn't spend $500 to hire somebody to write that plan for you. You did the work.
Yeah.
And,
you can't hire someone, dude, because it's your company.
The plan has to be. I want to talk about that, because I've run into instances already with SCORE where somebody has hired someone to write their business plan for them, but the business plan needs to be generated by the business owner, this would be a living, breathing document that comes from you. Because you're the one that's going to live it and carry it out. And it's the research and the knowledge and just having it be almost a part of you that's so important, and not having somebody else do the work.
It's the research that's important. I was teaching at ODU a week ago, and I was teaching small businesses how to break into government contracting. And so one of the things that I asked one lady, I said, well, who's your competition? And she had no answer. She's like, well, people. I go, no, I want names. And so I pulled out, a quote from my own business plan. I said, my business plan, when you ask me that question, starts out this way. In the state of Virginia, there's 169 construction contractors, okay?
Uh-huh.
Of those, 400 and blah, blah, blah. I mean, you got to really get the details and the knowledge down. And then I actually only had 7 real competitors. Remember I told you that the vast majority didn't know what they were doing in government contracting? Mm-hmm. I found 7 that really knew what they were doing, but there was only 2 of those that had internal to the company, someone who had worked for the government like I had. And so really my competitors were two other companies, and I thought I was better than both of them. So,
That's right.
It's the research that you do. It's the understanding of what you're up against, what the market is, what the market forces, who your competitors are, and why you will have a competitive edge. You know, if you don't think all that through, then you're not really serious about starting up your own business.
That's right. That's right. Hey, thanks, Dennis. Okay. That's the majority of our questions. We just have an opportunity here to provide some parting advice. And normally we ask our guests to let us know how we can get in contact with them. But in your case, since you're retired, we don't want them contacting you.
No, I'm still good. You can, Hold on, I got it around here. You can contact me at Score Hampton Roads.
Yeah.
The email is admin, A-D-M-I-N, at scorehr. So that's scorehr.org. Or you can call us there at 757-455-3998. 757-455-3998. You'd ask for some parting advice, right?
Yes. Yeah, please.
To those of you listening to this, and if you're planning to or in the process of starting up your own business, you have many friends and most of your family who will question your sanity. And what you have to do is just be deaf to their bad advice, okay? You can't get mad at them. You can't just, you know, you can't ignore them. You can't, you just, you know, you can't say, well, I'm not going to talk to my brother because every time I talk about my company, you know, just be deaf to it, you know? They don't have the fire inside. And because they don't have the fire inside, they cannot see what you see. This is my parting advice. Seek out successful people in your industry. If you're in the insurance business, go find some successful insurance agencies. If you're in the construction business, call up, make appointments, and talk to people who are in the construction. That's what I did. I had some great mentors that, you know, it's simple stuff. Like, I went to one company, I said, hey, I got to get some trucks for my superintendent. Do you buy? Do you lease? Do you rent? What do you do? And he says, I've done all of that, and I've come to the conclusion that I will buy my trucks. And so, boom, I had that answer. I didn't have to go live the problems with leasing and renting. I just bought the truck. You know, so you'd be surprised. Owners of similar companies will be very helpful in getting you started. They really will.
Yeah. Wow, Dennis, you give the best answers. I mean, that's awesome. Your advice is so on point, and I agree with so much that you say. It's right dead on. Thank you so much for joining us today. The information on the book and how to contact SCORE will be on the blog page at HamptonRoadsBusinessJournal.com. Thanks again, Dennis, for joining us. Hampton Roads Business Journal listeners, see you next time.
Thank you for joining us for today's HamptonRoadsBusinessJournal.com interview.